Right, so picking up from last week, we talked about living a better story, and we talked about that's kind of a little slogan for us. It's more than that, but live a better story. And how do we do this? We do this by having a high intentional focus on the most important things in life. That's, if you want a better story, that's how we do it. Find the most important things and have a high intentional focus on them. All right, now the Lord has let us know that the two most important areas, really covers everything, are Him and others. You know, God and others. That's really what it comes down to. And so when we have that intentional, high intentional focus, let's look at the next verse, Matthew 6:33. It says, if we focus on those two things, we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, so all the things that God would have us focus when it comes on Him, then everything else is going to be added. So your decision-making, your relationships, of course, your everything, your decisions, your work, your school, everything will be included. If you focus on Him and you focus on loving people, then He is going to work it all out. And that's good news, because I think when we think about all the decisions we have to make, it's exhausting. But if we just have to focus on Him, love God, love others, then all of a sudden it becomes a whole lot more doable, I think, right? Because it's really on, absolutely on His shoulders and not on our own. Now, the thing is, it can be tricky because the world, and I say the world, that's really just all the competing desires that we come across in our daily life. Can kind of muddy the water when it comes to all those things, because we can think that we're focusing on loving God and loving others, but really we're focusing on so many different things. You know, there's so many things that are kind of shiny out there that are distracting us. All right, now, the key to going back to last week, we talked about the key, how it's focusing on God and focusing on others. That's really kind of a key that unlocks the door to a better story. Again, this is what you want, and this is what I want. And we do have a lot of things getting in the way. We have fears, we have struggles, and all that type of stuff. Now, the thing is, what the Lord calls us to do is not easy. It's just not easy. You know, to focus on Him and others when there's so many things that are pulling at us, it's just, well, you know. You know, if it was easy, then really everybody would do it. And so, but this is why we're talking about that today. Now, what the world offers us, it seems to be an easier way. You know, it seems to be a shortcut. It seems to be more desirable, all right? And so this is what we talked about last week. That so much of what the world offers, it starts sweet. It does, right? I mean, you could, any desire that you want to fill in the blank with, it starts sweet, but boy, doesn't it end bitter? I mean, a lot of you have experienced that. I know I have. But what the Lord offers, often seems to start bitter, but it ends sweet. It's like, man, He'll tug on your heart to do and say things that you just have absolutely no desire. It's almost bitter. But when we follow Him, what we find out is that absolutely it ends sweet. And so there is a battle. There's a battle for our mind. There's a battle for our heart in all of this. And so, again, going back to what we talked about last week, it's a big question, I think. Have you humbly submitted your life to the Lord, or are you playing tug of war with Him over it? And it's almost like when someone becomes a believer, it's like, I give you my life, Lord. I submit to you fully. But then we try to wrestle back our very life instead of following Him. And so what we kind of left with last week was something that we could say to ourselves. It's not easy to say. But if we were to say it, make all the difference in the world. And that's, Lord, I humbly submit myself to you today as I focus on you and others. It's a humble submission. It's not just a submission like we talked about of our knees in prayer as Paul did. In the section we looked at last week, it's really a submission of the very soul, which is a whole lot different. And you know as well as I do, we can bow at the knee but not be bowing at the heart, right? So in my experience, there's kind of a line. You know, I don't know where this line is, but there's a line for people who say that they follow the Lord. And the line is people that say that they have faith, one side, and then there are people that actually walk their faith. And there's a lot of people that say they have faith, but to actually walk our faith, there's a line there. And so let me ask you all a question. And before I ask the question, so the people that, you know, there are times when we've seen in our life where we've been on that one side of it. But the hope is that the pattern of our life is that we're actually following and living it out, right? That's the hope. Now, when we don't, when we just say we have faith, but we don't actually walk our faith, it leads to frustration. It leads to wondering why God doesn't work in our life. It leads to a lack of understanding, a lack of fulfillment. But when we do follow Him, it leads to a richness in life. It doesn't mean that things go well. But regardless of how things go, there's a richness there. There's thankfulness. There's a growing understanding. There's a greater faith. All right, so let me ask you all a question. Very quick answers. What are some of the reasons why people don't actually live out their faith? Or at times all of us are in this, but just stay in a place where they say they have faith. They might even serve and give and everything, but still the keys of their life are in their own hands. What are some of the reasons why they don't walk their faith? Thoughts?
Time.
So, yes, you know, a lot of times when we see our faith as an additional thing in our life, we feel like, I'm so busy over here, and here's my faith. And so I almost don't have time for it. But in actuality, our faith is to be our life. And so it's just kind of like, I'll have to just get that. What else? What's another reason?
Maybe they're just content where they are, serving and all that stuff. Like,
content. Completely content. You know, it would be, it's interesting because a person could not follow the Lord and really be enjoying their life. And the way that they're doing it, and they're accomplishing a lot, their family's great and all this. And yet, you know, the Lord's calling them out of whatever this comfort is, this thing that they're completely happy with, and yet they're just content where they are. So, yeah, I get that. You had something, Kathy?
Most of us know, some people don't, but most of us know more than we apply.
Right.
We know more. Because we know it, we think, well, that's fine, but we don't apply it.
Yeah, so we know it, but we don't apply it.
Afraid and embarrassed.
Doug says this. I'll open it up to everyone now, and you can answer this as well, Doug. So we're afraid and embarrassed. How could that play out in our life of living our faith? Because I agree.
Well, when people come in and judge us differently or whatnot.
Yeah.
The thing is one of those.
They'll judge us. They'll put us in a category that we do not want to be in. You know, sometimes it's almost as if someone were to say, so you're a Christian. You almost want to be like, yes, but what do you mean by Christian? You know. Because I really want to distinguish, because if you know, because some people would be like, you're one of those that hates this and hates that, and was, well, yeah, see, so no, I think that's good, and that's a reason. So now let me ask you this question: what is a reason why people actually walk in faith? Then, well, some of the reasons why they don't. What are some of the reasons that would make us actually walk in faith? What's that? Obedience, yes, and that's the hope that whether we want to or not, we're gonna, you know, the Lord has done something in us where we're gonna trust Him, and so we're gonna be obedient. That's good. What else?
We know we're on the right side.
Yes, it's the right thing. It's like it's the right thing, and you know, Lord knows more than I do, so I'm gonna follow Him. And sometimes we have to do that for the very first time. Then after a while, hopefully, we can see that the way we do it doesn't work nearly as well, and so that's good. Well, what else? That's a big one. If we've actually seen Him work in our life, then we want more of it. We do. And there's still that tension there. It's not easy, but we want that. And so here's the thing. When it comes to living a better story, it has everything to do with faith. It has everything to do with actually following the Lord. You know, but it's hard. It's not easy. And what has to happen is that we have to let go of control of our life. Like the keys of our life that are in our hand, you know, we want to stay behind the wheel. We actually have to hand those keys over to the Lord and say, you drive. And so when we're struggling or we're fearful, we don't take the keys back. Just, you drive.
It's hard enough to do it with your spouse.
So at some point in that moment, Doug said, I think I'm going to say this out loud. No, you're right.
We want control.
I know, but it's still funny. Is it? She said a lot more than what you said. That was good. Is it though? Really?
I may have said that for Kathleen. To me, probably where I was going with it.
Nice save. Yeah. That was good. If we didn't interrupt the confession that was about to come, then I do see the point. And that's true. We have a hard enough time with, and that's the thing. We're talking about God and people. These are the two most important areas, and yet. I mean, it's a struggle on both sides of it, but it's not only one or the other. It's not just God. It is people. So the thing is, He actually would have us, calls us to submit to one another in ways. And so there are times that we do have to, you know, submit well, and I'm not going to go on, but no, that's true, and that's good. All right, so today, there's one verse that we're going to hit on. We've hit on it before, but it's going to be just kind of our walk away. It's a good verse. I think it's one of those that we just need to keep. If we take this verse and we say it and we meditate on it, which means not the thing, but if you just stir your heart, you, what's a good word? Marinate it. You let it marinate in your mind, and you think on it, and you wonder about it, and you say, this is what I want. God, it's that type of verse that it'll change everything in your life from now on. All right, and so before we get to that verse, though, we're going to do something that we did probably about 3 months ago. And so let me ask you a question. We did this whole little example thing, but I'm just going to cut to the chase. What are some of the things that people want said at their funeral? Remember when we did that? What are some of those answers?
Love God and love others.
Love God of others. Yep, absolutely. What else? Don't have to be specific, just categories or just general ideas. You have something over there? You're smiling. Not Norm. Norm's like, pretty sure I'm not smiling. If you were to ask anybody in here, they would guess that I'm probably not smiling. But now he is. But Teresa.
Being a great mentor,
you're making people laugh right now. You're smiling, no one else was. That was funny. Mentor made people laugh. Yeah, that's a good thing. What else? Someone said something over here. One. I think it was kind. Someone said kind. You said kind? Jesse. Always talking to her when I'm talking. She's always trying to, take the keys away.
So be faithful in your walk with the Lord.
Right. Be faithful in our walk with the Lord. What else?
Know where he's going.
Loyal. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I hadn't thought about that. And then you said nowhere.
Knew where he's going.
Okay, so you're thinking about ultimately and potentially even live their life that way. So they knew where they were headed, and they wanted to take others, want to take others with them. And here's the thing: even though this is the case, and it's true, it's telling on how we live our lives. You know, and we can so often protect things that will have nothing to do with what people will say at our funeral or what really matters in life, and yet we can neglect the things that would actually lead us to. You know, for people to say those very things about us, you know, that they were kind, you know, that that they absolutely loved the Lord and they loved others, and it was clear, you know. And then the very things that will lead us to that are the things that we kind of neglect, and it's, I don't know, it's just always that tug of war going on, you know. And I thought about this week. I was in El Paso. My mom came back with me, And so my mom had shown me something, and it was just a reflection of this, of what we're talking about right now. And so let me show you this picture. All right, so this is my dad's watch and his wedding ring. And so I didn't know this, but she told me this trip, but neither one of them liked sleeping with their rings on. And so my mom, I don't know where she would put hers, but so he would take his off. That's a smart place to put it. He'd put it on his watch, and so he would be able to know where it was the next day, you know. And so when I saw this, I'm thinking, you know what, no one's messed with it since then. So the last time that my dad put it on was this time, the hole that he picked, the ring he put it on. So I was looking at and kind of reflecting on that a little bit. But so here's the thing. So when my dad passed away, and then, you know, we had the funeral, it was amazing. The things that were said had nothing to do with the car he drove. It had nothing to do with how much money he had. It had nothing to do with the house, any of those things, it really. And as I looked at this, when I think of this, I don't think about, man, I wonder how much that watch is worth. You know, that ring. I don't think about that at all. I just think about my dad, right? And it just goes to show that, you know, what matters most are the things that are actually going to lead us to a better story, right? This is why we talk about this type of stuff all the time. I reinforce things over and over. I hit verses repeatedly because I want them to be ingrained in you. I want them to be, you know, absolutely ingrained in me as well. All right, now, the thing is, what we want said at our funeral are the very things that the Lord wants said at our funeral. You know, the very things that we want are the very things that the Lord wants. All right, and so those who follow the Lord, He leads them to produce fruit. You know, an apple tree produces apples. And so a person who is a Christ follower are to produce these things if we follow him. And this is what we talked about a few months ago. The fruit of the Spirit, this is what's supposed to come out of you and me. Love, joy, peace, patience. See, these are the very things that we were talking about. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You look at this. These are the very things that we want said at our funeral. These are the very things that God actually produces in those who follow him, who cross the line from someone who just says they have faith to someone who actually, you know, lives their faith. So, you know, I think on behalf of like the leadership of the Story Church, that's what we want for you. So you want for us. You know, the Lord, that's what he wants for you. And what he wants for us. And so as I think about that, I mean, this type of verse, this is the type of verse that we really need to, you know, ingrain in our hearts. Because if we have this thing in our mind, and this is not the verse I'm leading to, by the way. This is a different verse. But if we have these in our mind and in our heart, then in that moment, what's going to pop out when we're angry or we're frustrated, we're like, you know what? Patience. It's just going to pop. We won't be able to shake it. Once we open our heart and let him kind of write it on the tablet of our heart, you know, man, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. In this moment right now, what I need is gentleness. And this one right here is when we're, you know, we often need that self-control one. So this is the type of verse we just need to write it down and let it, God write it in our heart. So it's always just floating there. But that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. And this is what we want when it comes down to what we want people to say, you know, about us, not only at our funeral, but, you know, well before then. So this is why, you know, this is why, let's put it, we talk about this all the time, the four things of how, I won't go through them now, but the four things in order to be part of the story. You know, the reason why we want for you to be engaged with these is because these are the very things that lead to a better story. These are the very things that lead us to go from one side of the line to the other side of the line, right? And so this is why we seek to engage you with that. You know, this whole thing with this new building we're in right now, but the new space that, you know, that we're waiting, it's just a building. But the reason why we want to, you know, move forward in the way that we are is because we want to engage our community in a greater way. And it's all about engagement. We want you to be engaged. We want to engage the community. You know, but we'll have next weekend, we'll have a date when we're going to go over to the nursing home. I don't know where I'm at right now. Is it back there? Wherever it is, right? Wherever it is around the building. It's back over here. We'll know by next week. and so we're going to go over there. And the plan is not sure yet, but it's probably going to be the end of July. We're going to have our first entrance into that. And we're going to build relations. Because why? We want to engage the community. We want to engage people. We want to engage being a servant in the way that Jesus was a servant. You know, this is why we do what we do. This is why we gather. You know, this is why we say when we're finished, let's go be the church. You know, it's all about engagement for you, and it's engagement for me as well. All right, so the verse, we're not going to put it up yet, but what's that verse I said, that one verse? Because remember, there's that line between those who say they have faith and those who walk their faith. One of the most important things I have found in my own life, and then I've seen it in others, when it comes to growing spiritually, is that a person must take ownership in their faith. There are very few things that will help a person grow more than that outside the Lord. Ownership of our faith. You know, so like showing up, anybody, whenever I went on a Sunday to a church gathering growing up, it was almost like I was expecting them to do something. Like, I'm just kind of sitting here, you know, do your thing and then I'll walk away, I'll be good. But it's not what it is. We are to be growing in our faith, and that we come here and we kind of celebrate that together. We continue to encourage one another. We continue to go through the Lord's word together. But it's all about being engaged in our faith outside of here. Everything changes. I remember when we've talked about that a little bit, how the sermons, I didn't become better. I need to become a whole lot better. But they were more engaged even with the sermons because they were already growing in their faith. And they would be reading in the scriptures or having conversation, and then we would talk about it on a Sunday. And it's just, you get to see how God's working. So that ownership of our faith is absolutely critical. And so we're here to help one another in that. But we have to have that desire to grow. Without it, it doesn't work. So what's that verse? Let's put up Psalm 90, verse 12. I love this. I mean, this is such a big verse. This is another one that we should commit to our memory. Then later it'll sink into our heart. That's the hope. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let's leave that up for a second. I mean, so it's, all right, Lord, help me to know that life is short. Like, the older we get, we realize that. But, man, I sure would like to know that, you know, now. You know, so teach me that life is short, that I may have a heart of wisdom so that I can live my life in such a way as someone who actually knows that my life is short. And see, this verse is for everybody, because for someone who is young, those that are young, and you just ascribe whatever age to young you want to, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, I know, life is short, but I've heard that, and then, yeah, and then, oh, man, you've grown so much, and then you hear all these things that when you're young, and you just kind of, yeah, whatever. I mean, for someone who's young, it's like, okay, God, help me to number my day. Help me to know that I only have so many days. Like, when today is over, I'll never get it back, and it's one day closer to my last day. Help me to know that, because I'm young. And apparently people that are young, it's harder to understand, and I don't want to not understand. So help me understand that so that I can gain a heart of wisdom, so I can appreciate my parents now while I have them around, if you still have them around, so I can appreciate, you know, the church, so I can appreciate friendship, so I can appreciate life, so I don't get so caught up in so many of these things that I lose sight of all the things that are more important than that. So even though I'm young, help me to know that I only have so many days here. So it applies to those that are young. And those that are older, you ascribe whatever age you want to those that are older. But it's the same thing. Because it's like, you know what, I say this. There was an example of it not long ago. I can't remember what it was offhand. But I've been saying this every once in a while. I want us to be a church that does the things that people say we should do more often. You know, you get together with friends and you have a great time. We should do that more often. And then you don't see them for 6 months. Right? I don't want that to be us. You know, I don't want that to be you. I know I don't want it to be me. And so so for those that are older, you know, it that's what it is. It's like, you know what, I'll get to it. You know, I'll get to it 5 years later. I'll get to it. I've always wanted to try that. I've always wanted to do that hobby. I've always wanted to learn to play the piano. I've always wanted to read more. I've always wanted to start this thing. I wanted to learn to knit or to paint or to these things. Or someone did that. That's cool. I'd love to do something like that. I want us to be the type of people that do that stuff, because there's going to come a day when we can't. You know? So, yes. So, for those that are younger, those that are older, it doesn't matter. Help me know. Help me know. And, Lord, I'm going to figure it out sooner or later. I'd rather figure it out while I still have... I don't want to get shocked into this reality, even though that's going to happen. I want to know right now. And so this is another one. That's a big verse for every one of us. Maybe that's one to meditate on this week for you, to think about, wonder about. All right, as we move forward as a church, you can actually help us become someone who understands, who can walk in wisdom, that can understand that life is short, that we don't want to just be a church that's just humdrum and just doing, you know, just kind of going through the motions. You can help us. In fact, we're counting on you to help us be a church that's living a better story. You can help us. You know, you have the relationships you do. We don't have those. We don't have your ability. We don't have your thinking. We don't have your experiences. We don't have the pain that you've learned from. Only you have that. Only you can bring that to the table and help enrich our church. And so we're counting on you. It's all about steps. Let's put up the spiritual growth definition. We talk about it every once in a while because I like simple definitions. Spiritual growth. How do we do that? Well, it's as simple as growing in faith and love, all right? But it's all about steps. You know, it doesn't just happen. We have to actually actively be taking steps. And so, one of the coolest things that I see is that, and I have a number of examples I could bring up of everybody here, you know, but I love when I see people grow. Anyway, let me even take a step back. I love when I see a person take a step to grow. The one that they never would have taken before, and then all of a sudden they take a step, because already that's growth. Because the thing about growth, I think that we picture being this certain type of Christian that does and says all these things, and their life is this thing, and that's kind of intimidating. It's hard to get there. So we don't need to focus on there. What we need to focus on is just a step. Because when it comes to spiritual growth, every single step is growth. You can be encouraged if you pick up the Bible for the first time and you read a chapter this week. You've never really done that. That's growth. You just grew in a way that someone that's been a Christ follower for 30 years can also grow by taking a step. So I love when I see a person take a step. You know, we've had people that have come up, this thing that goes between, I'll even say Brittany came up, the first one that did the between song thing, I think, I asked her to read something from a Facebook post, and she was terrified. And I love putting people in terrifying positions. I don't know why, especially the Taylor girls. I don't know why that is. It's just funny for me. But someone that gets up here, there have been others that have come up and have been terrified to take the step to either pray or to read a section of scripture or whatever it is. I mean, talk about courage when someone takes a step that they're afraid to take. I love that. And so one of my favorite things in all the world is to see someone take a step, and then when you see people grow. Because then they do. They kind of get a little bit of a taste of it, and then they're encouraged. And then they might take a step back, but then maybe two steps forward. And so, again, you have a great, great opportunity with our church. You know, we've been going on for a while. But still, in a lot of ways, this is kind of a new start. And so you can help us become what we're seeking to become, a church where the life change is so contagious we can't possibly keep it to ourselves. And it's not people that are bouncing off the walls. It's people that just love the Lord and people that are excited about what he's doing, people that are nervously inviting somebody, that are nervously, you know, taking a step into leadership that they wouldn't take before. Someone that's saying, you know what, I'm going to take a step back from this in my life because I'm going to take a step forward into my family, you know, because that impacts our church, into my marriage or into my kids or whatever else it is. All right, so ultimately, to close in a very simple way, you have this better story that's out there for you, one that you cannot possibly draw up yourself. And it's not only for you, it's for other people. Maybe you have kids. There's a better story for them as well. And that story's not going to, they're not going to live a better story. Likely, it's harder anyways, unless it's modeled for them. And not only that, though, for a student to understand or a child to understand that they have ownership in their own growth, that it's not entertain me, make me have fun, maybe I'll be there, maybe I won't. All. It's not about that. It's about someone who engages in their faith. And so you have an opportunity to engage your family. You have the opportunity to engage friends and coworkers and all that type of stuff. The truth is, though, the Lord's going to engage you. He's going to engage us. And this better story that he has for you and our church is right there. And it's going to be filled with stories. It's going to be filled with laughter. It's going to be filled at times with heartache, but with people surrounding you to help you through the heartache. The Lord is willing. I know that the leadership of our church is willing. The question is, are you? Are you? Let's pray. My Lord and my God, thank you so much. I'm traveling 3 out of 4 weeks, but it helps me remember. It just helps me remember the things that are so important in life. To take time out in every day, not just on vacation, to invest in family, to invest in friendship, to have a high focus on you. That's it right there. We do those things. Everything else will work out. Our jobs will work out. Our career choices will work out. Our decisions will work out. But we focus on you and we focus on loving people. Everything else will work out. That is so simple. It's so simple to understand. Still, there are some on the side of the line that we can all find ourselves in at times where we have faith, but we don't live our faith. That we're never nervous about taking a step that you're compelling us to take. That's no way to live. That's no way to live our faith. There's richness. There is fulfillment. There are stories when it comes to following you. And so whatever you need to do in our hearts to believe, Lord, I'm asking you to do it in every person individually. And I can say with full confidence, because you know full well, that as I consider our church, our small, tiny little church here in Wiley, you can do something very, very special in every person's life. I see what you can do through their lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you capture our hearts, that you capture our minds. I pray that you help us to understand that the time that we have is so short. So, Lord, give us a heart of wisdom as we move forward. I pray, I ask for wisdom as a church. I ask for your favor as a church. As we continue to wait for our space to be ready, Lord, I pray that you're readying us. I pray that you help us to know that we're not waiting and then going when the space opens up. We're on the move now. Lord, help us to reach out. Help us to love people. Help us to invite. Help us to give. Help us to connect with one another. Help us to be the type of people that do the very things that we all say we should do more often. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.